is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 83 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. Today we bring you Spanko, with guest Kavika. Here's your hosts, Woody, the Beast, and Chrissy.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. The studio's full tonight. Hey, Beast?
It's very full, and we got a unique show for you tonight.
Something that was requested by our listeners and a little bit special for us.
Yes, it is. Kind of a special niche here that we got. And we got Chrissy here during the interview. And hello, Chrissy.
Hi, Beast. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I can't see you because we got somebody in between us.
And who is that person?
That's my dear friend, Kavika.
Hello.
Hey, Kavika.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the show. Tonight we're going to talk about a topic that is popular with many people, spanking, right?
Ooh, yes. My favorite.
Your favorite. For many folks, it seems to be a gateway into the scene, and it's practiced all over the, gosh, everywhere I go I see people getting spanked. It's amazing. I don't know too much about your early history, and I know that you started spanking when you were young. Isn't that right?
Age 17.
A top or bottom?
Both. And still that way.
Yeah, that's what I noticed about you. You're just all around kind of guy.
Yes.
Tell me about your first spanking scene.
Well, I was 17 years old, and I had a girlfriend, actually my first girlfriend. She was 15, and we just stumbled across it. We happened to be on the couch at her parents' home. It was a finished basement, in the basement alone. And she was getting really bratty and mischievous. So I decided to teach her a lesson, and I pulled up her skirt, pulled her panties down, threw her across my lap, and proceeded to spank her. She started crying after a while. It was a hand spanking. And she was going to go tell her mama on me. So I didn't want that to happen. So I had to kind of cave in.
Yeah, and so you kept spanking.
I kept spanking. But after I kept spanking up to a certain point, then she was about to go upstairs and talk to her mama. So I pleaded with her not to, and I said, if you would like to do it to me, if you promise not to ever tell your mama what we're doing, you can do it to me as long and hard as you want with whatever you want.
You are so perverted.
And I was perverted then.
And so daring.
Definitely.
Yeah, that was
as
too
long
daring.
As you want with whatever you want.
Was, well, you know, I was 17 years old. What can I say? You know, you do silly things when you're 17.
That's true.
So she proceeded to grab a hairbrush and pulled my pants off, underwear too, ordered me across her lap, and wore me out with it till I just was in tears and begging her to stop. Finally, while she was laughing, she did stop. And that was kind of the start of my career as spanking.
So she went from tears when you were doing it to laughing when she was doing it.
She sure did.
Funny how sadism works.
Yeah, laughing with the tears still in her eyes.
What'd you think about that?
Well, I didn't know what to think because I was 17, never had experienced that before, and it was very different. Of course, we did it some other times, and we're still best friends even now. We're very tight, although she's not a part of the lifestyle. She has been to our local club to mark with me once just to check it out and see what I do there, but she's no longer interested in it, unfortunately.
I have a question for you. You said that you attend the mark, and I was told that you engage in spanking parties there. Tell me about a spanko party. Is it a spanko party or a spanking party?
It technically, I guess, could be a spanking party. But when we started out, we wanted to kind of define it as such as spankos, because there are people that call themselves spankos, and that's defined by a certain way that they do spank, primarily with the hands and paddles. It's primarily it may be a belt. Our definition, when we originally started researching this, is that there were no floggers and other implements. Probably a cane would probably qualify as a spanko from what we researched. That's pretty much where we kept it at, was hands, paddles, and canes, and that we called it our spanko party. we did a lot of research on it, and I went to a party in Atlanta, the SOS, Spankers of the Southeast, that was real popular at one time until the host had to move out of Atlanta for various reasons, and I picked up a lot of ideas and things from them, plus what we researched. And ours has become very successful the last 3 years.
That's what I've heard. I have some friends that are Spankos, and they travel a whole circuit. They consider themselves Spankos, and actually, most of the women that I know that are bottoms are brats, and they pride themselves on their bratty behavior and enticing the tops to just lay into them. It's actually a lot of fun. Is that what happens at your parties, too?
Sometimes it does. That does. That's one of the things. There's actually multiple things that go on. Sometimes at our parties, we get people that are there for the first time, and they're scared. They just kind of watch, and they want to do it, but then they're kind of reluctant. So you actually got to make them feel comfortable and make them feel, you know, feel like there's no threat. And by doing that, a lot of times it's just a matter of talking to them and communicating and letting them know that, well, this is not corporal punishment, like somebody's going to take their belt off and just beat you with it. There's so many different ways you can do a spanking. There's an easy, light way, sensual way. There's all kinds of different toys. There's so many ways you can do spankings. It's not just, you know, for corporal punishment only.
Let's talk about one of your parties. I'm just going to go with that. I've not been to one yet. I know there's one coming up in the near future that I fortunately won't be able to attend, I don't think. I understand that there's a dress code, that people are asked to dress a certain way, and it's limited. There aren't a lot of fetishes that night. It's strictly focusing on spanking.
Yes, we're not real strict on the dress code. We just highly recommend not to wear fetish clothing, you know, to wear schoolgirl clothing or just regular kind of clothing. So it's not really a fetish type dress style.
That's interesting. I know I've heard that about other spanking parties too, that it's limited as far as more structures and more rules as to attire and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. Let's talk some more about, say I'm bringing someone to your party for the first time. What will they expect to see? What will happen there?
Well, generally what we do is we open up at 8 o'clock, and we'll talk in the front lobby for a little while at the club. And then we'll start, after about an hour, we'll start doing some icebreaker games right there in the front lobby. Now, the club has a policy that there's no play allowed in the front lobby. Our parties are the exception to that. We are allowed to play in the front lobby where nobody else is. So that's where we have our icebreaker games. And we'll just get some people up there and start playing a game and match people up. Or some people, if they're collared or maybe in a relationship, they won't play with other people, and that's fine. They can play with their significant other or jump in however they can jump in. And we'll usually do a dice that tells maybe how many strokes you're getting, and another dice for the implement. And then what we'll do is I have a little spanking bench I bring in there and put it in the front. And then we'll just, you know, do a little spanking. Clothing is optional. Sometimes we'll roll it to see if it's bare or not, but you don't have to be bare. We try to make everybody very comfortable and try to do the parties to their level. You know, if they're brand new, you know, we want it to be them to just get a light kind of spanking, whether it be 5 strokes or 10 strokes. If it's somebody who's hardcore and comes and they just want to be hit hard, then, you know, they can be hit hard. So we try to tailor it on the levels of the people that we have playing the icebreaker game. Then after the icebreaker game, a lot of people we'll move into the main part of the dungeon and break off, and we have all kinds of equipment there, primarily the spanking benches and tables where people can be bent over or in all kind of positions. And as you walk through the spanking party in the dungeon, you'll hear all kinds of spanking going on in all different directions with things like the paddles, the hands, and you'll hear people screaming and moaning. And it's just a really, if you like spanking, it's a really good atmosphere.
You know, as a kid, I was never spanked. I think I was probably chased around the kitchen table with a fly swatter a couple of times. But I was never spanked. And personally, I don't think that I would have ever enjoyed it until I was actually spanked with someone's bare hand over their knee, prolonged period of time. And it was actually quite painful, but I enjoyed it in kind of a twisted, sick way.
Is that about the physical contact in that case?
I think it was for the physical contact and the connection of the person's hand on my flesh.
A lot of people like OTK, over the knee. That's right, OTK.
Right. That is correct.
You'll see that referred to in FetLife, OTK, a lot. And so that is a bare hand over the knee, and it's all about a physical connection between the top and the bottom. It can be punishment. It can be loving. It can be gentle. It can be pretty hard.
It was actually pretty hot. I think I came a couple of times, actually.
Well, darn the luck, huh?
Yeah, and the people in the room in front of me loved it.
It's not unusual for that to happen whenever I top somebody. That happens quite a bit more than you think it does.
And you're grinning as you say that.
Yes. I've actually even had a couple of tops do the same while they were topping me.
What's that? Get off?
Get off.
Rock on.
Yes.
Rock off. I don't know. What is that?
I had one that was topping me pretty hard, and she said, you know, I'm really getting into this. And I said, you are? And she says, yeah, let me have your hand. And she put my hand down in the area, and she was soaking wet. So, it happens. Tops do it, too.
So we're talking about spanking, and we're talking about over-the-knee spanking and spanking in general. And you made a comment earlier that this is not corporal punishment, and a lot of people equate spanking with punishment, but this is not being done in that manner.
It depends on the dynamic you have with the person you're with. If you're in that kind of relationship, then it can be corporal punishment. Or if you're in a role play situation where you have tasks to do during a week and you don't complete those tasks, then yeah, you could be punished for that. But at the spanking parties, what we do primarily is it's something that we just want to make everybody feel comfortable about and have fun. And we'll do it in different, various colorful ways. It's the way you spank with your hand, maybe just the laughing, the interaction. It could be a soft, sensual kind of spanking, rhythmic kind of spanking. There's just so many variations. And what we like to do is just introduce people to the very many ways that you can spank and be spanked.
You mentioned about being part of a role-playing scene. How many people do role play with spanking?
Well, I do role play. I have regular tops, and we do role play, and I have certain names that I call them. I do not address any of them as mistress, but I do have names such as ma'am. And so another one is sir, a female that I call address as sir. We even role play when we're on Fed or when we're talking, we're doing texting, and then we actually get to the club or my house, wherever we're doing it at, then we actually do the role play itself. Although they're not my mistress and we don't do anything, but we just kind of have a little role play and it kind of adds to it. So then when we get into the actual physical part of it, have all this built up, maybe there is a little kind of a light punishment for something I didn't do or something I said sassy or something like that. Or maybe they'll come in and give me a nice long warm up and reward me with a good warm up, a long lead in, and then maybe start, you know, playing some heavy spanking with me or some light kind of massaging type spanking, depending on what we're doing that day.
I see. I know one time that I was in a spanking scene and I was required to count the strokes. And, of course, the Dom was using the ever-famous Dom math. So it was kind of 1, 2, 3, 4. Wait a minute. You didn't say 3. Start over. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, that wasn't loud enough. 1, 2, 3. I think we probably got to 87, maybe, before we finished. But
1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Yes.
Down math.
Well, when it comes to numbers, everybody has their own kink. And I have one top that I've been with for 2 years, and she's a numbers person. That's her position outside of her everyday life is numbers, working with numbers. And she's into 12s. So she does everything in multiples of 12.
Oh, my.
And it would be 12 per cheek. So I'm very familiar with the numbers 72 and 144.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, I like it in the fact that it's something she and I have that's very unique to just her and I. And I pretty much have that same kind of thing with each person I play with regularly. We have our own little niche of certain things. And with this particular person, that is one of our niches. It's multiples of 12.
You know, I think that I saw that happening. I think I was engaged in a scene next to you one night and you were, yeah, that's what that was. I caught bits of it. Interesting. 12. I'll be sure not to tell my top that, okay?
Yeah, and we'll even play a game every now and then. She has a dice roll, and she'll roll it, and whatever the dice comes up to, it's rounded up. So if it comes up to 20, it's 24.
Wow, you could do squares and primes and everything else.
That's
primes, yes. 1, 3, 5, 7.
Kavika, let's talk about hardware for a second. You talked about a spanking bench. There's different types of spanking benches, right?
Right, there is. The one that I found most comfortable, we do have at our local club, the Mark, and actually I have one in my home just like it because I took the measurements and had one made just like it. Now, the key thing in a bench like that I found going into other places, like I've been to, and I won't name this, but there's a big party in Atlanta they have about during Easter time and some others where they bring in benches from different places. And sometimes the people who make these spanking benches, I don't think actually climb on top of them and play, because the part where you put your knees a lot of times is too narrow. So, you know, you need to have a lot of space for your knees to spread out. I've been on a bench and I've had where we've got into a seam and get into 10 minutes of it, and I might be the bottom, and I'm calling red because I just can't handle the bench I'm on. The knees are very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable spot for me. So the equipment is very, very important.
There's the sawhorse style, to where you straddle it and your leg and arms goes on either side. There's a pad in the middle that your belly rests on. And then there's the more of a table type, to where you actually lay flat on top of it, and it has a more like a picnic bench, to where your knees are down where the seat would be.
That's right.
And those are much more comfortable than the sawhorse for a lot of people.
Yes.
That is.
I agree with that for sure.
To me, the sawhorse is better for me because I can lay my belly on it and I can get my knees good and comfortable. And actually, when I'm topping people, I've had the same feedback because I've had people go to sleep when I spank them. And I like for that to happen. That means they're getting some good headspace.
The size of the person will make a difference on the comfort also.
It will. It definitely will.
So you have stability issues. You have all kinds of different things there.
Back or knee problems can
right.
make
it. How much pressure is being exerted on a knee. Yeah.
That's correct.
And then there's whether they're tied or cuffed into place, of course.
Or saran wrapped into place.
That's true. Yeah.
Or chained.
Yes.
Mm. Chrissy, you're just all alight over there.
I know. I have things planned, and I'm getting excited. Sorry.
Some people will have somebody bend over and grab their ankles. Or there's also a toy, or actually a piece of equipment I bought, that is sometimes used like a T, where you bend over this platform, and you grab a little handle that's on this little T, and you bend over that way. But those usually are not used that much. It's typically the types that Woody was talking about earlier are the more common types that you see in the dungeons and people have at their houses.
Hey, how about if someone's upside down?
You know, I've actually seen that at our local club. It hasn't been recently, but back when I first started going about 9 years ago actually, there was a married couple that would come in there and she would hang him up upside down on the chains and spank him and do all kinds of things.
Vertical?
Yes,
hanging
head was
vertically.
Down.
Head down?
Yeah, head down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
In inverted suspension.
And spanked.
Yeah. And spanked.
Well, that's hot.
I wonder what his crunch ability is. That is some serious crunches.
That would be. Yes. now, there was some help in getting him hoisted and up in there. But, you know, once he was there, you know, then just wide open. And the scenes were pretty hot.
So between the blood rush to the head and the endorphin rush, he was all over it.
Oh, it definitely was, yes. Yeah.
So the other half of the hardware, of course, is hitting devices. We talked about the hand earlier. Paddles. There's a bunch of different types of paddles.
There are. Of course, everybody talks about the wood paddles, and there's so many types of wood that you can get. You know, the thin wood. I mean, there's just so much in thickness Just so many variables in the wood.
So it's kind of mass versus wind resistance.
That's right.
And, of course, if you drill holes in it, there is no wind resistance.
That's exactly right.
Woody, didn't I see you working on a couple paddles when I come in the studio?
I did. A fan of the cast donated a bunch of wood, and it is merbau, which is a tropical hardwood.
And I want to try them.
And listeners, all this is legal hardwood.
Yes, absolutely. He gave not only enough wood for the paddles, but enough wood for an entire spanking bench. It was a nice donation, I would say.
Party at Woody's.
Yeah, there you go.
There's actually a paddle that I have that's very unique, and I bought it from someone who comes to our club every now and then from out of town. But several people in our area have got one. It's hard wood on one side, and it's very soft, kind of foamy type on the other side. It is the best thing for warm-ups. I mean, warm-ups, or if you want to change the sensation in the middle of a heavy scene, it is awesome. It's probably one of my favorite paddles because I've got the best of both worlds.
Sitting here on the desk is also one of the other ones that I made, and it's a nice oak core, but it's surrounded by faux bunny fur, and I call it Thumper. Everybody hates it. They just don't like this. I guess it has so much mass that it tries to push you across the room without having a sting, but it really carries a wallop, and there's a lot of people that won't use it. Or don't want it used on them.
One of my favorite paddles is just one you can get, especially if you live on the coastal area, you can go on the internet and get it. And that's just a plain old beach ball paddle. Those things are just awesome. I mean, the wood's cheap, but they're great starter paddles because they're not as hard as the good paddles that you buy. And I have introduced so many people with those paddles because of the fact that they are good. They're good starter paddles, and I still use them. And if we're talking about unusual type things, actually, I have been paddled on one of my birthdays several years ago with a big old oar, actually a wooden oar, and that was at the Mark, our local club.
Did you break it?
Oh, Lord, no.
Oh, I know people who have. That's yeah, what I'm asking.
Yeah, I do, especially a canoe paddle. You can break those fairly easily. Uh-huh. This must have been a real oar.
It was. Yeah. It was the real thing. It was a big one. It was a real one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Those have a lot of mass to them.
They do, yes.
Let's see. When it's your birthday, do they spank you the number of times plus one, or do they do a multiple?
In 12.
It depends on who the top is. If you got, the top usually judges that. Now, I have a top that... I can't say a top. She used to be a play partner, but she's missed my last two birthdays. And our spanking party is this Friday. So she is going to give me 2 years' worth of spanking strokes plus the interest.
I can't even imagine how to compound interest
on that.
What is
the interest rate?
I don't know.
Is it credit card percentage or is it prime right now?
I think you need to negotiate a bit more, dear friend.
Well, she just simplified it and said it's going to be 1,000.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's amortized.
Well,
yeah.
I got 600 spanks at my last birthday.
I hear 12 to the third power.
Oh, my.
1728.
Yes. And birthday spankings are very popular. We do them in our local club, and we just have a lot of fun with birthdays. Birthdays are really fun with spanking, especially people that know each other and regular play partners. You can do so much with birthday spankings.
Yeah, my partner had a birthday spanking years ago. You even spanked her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, it sure did.
Were you here for my birthday?
Yeah, your birthday, too.
Yes, that was some party.
Yeah, it was, because you don't remember who spanked you.
No, I don't. No, there was a line, and I was just bent over.
For your 50th, I think a couple of college guys kind of overdid it.
Yes, they did. I was outside, leaned over a Harley Davidson naked, and there was a line... What? You're giggling. And there was a line of people behind me, and everybody got to take 10 swats. And a couple of young guys showed up that I didn't know, and my master was there. So I thought, well, I'm fine. I'm safe. Everything's cool. I know these people. And so they took a swing at me with a long black wooden paddle. I almost knocked over the motorcycle. I turned around and said, what the fuck? I'm not a baseball. So they did it again. And by then I'm yelling, hey, I was going to rip them up. So needless to say, they were removed from my behind. But they actually removed skin from my ass that time. It was some party.
Can I get back to the implements?
Absolutely.
Every now and then I'll play with somebody and they don't want wood. They just absolutely say, don't hit me with wood. So I have these nice leather paddles that I have. I have a couple of them. We have a vendor that comes in to our local club on a certain time of year when we have vendors that come in, and he makes really good leather paddles. And my leather paddles are probably my more popular paddles. Just about everybody loves them. You know, a lot of people think of wood, and a lot of people think of hand, but leather is really good when it comes to paddling.
Now, for those listeners that are on a budget and creative, we have the wooden spoon.
Oh, the ever-popular wooden spoon, yes.
We have the 1 gallon and 5 gallon paint stirrers.
Mm-hmm.
A little sandpaper helps the paint stirrer a lot.
Sand it and remove the sandpaper as opposed to leave it on.
Super glue. Oh. You can super glue two of them together.
I was thinking leaving it on. What are you talking about?
Well, I have a paddle that has the sandpaper on one side and smooth on the other. And so you can do abrasion play. It has a really nice feel to it. Then there's the silicon kitchen tools, like the stirring spoons and what have you. Those
and
have
spatulas.
Those have a hell of a sting to them.
They do.
Mm-hmm. I broke spatulas before.
And, of course, you can do so many things with belts. You know, you can go to even a Goodwill store and find belts there and do so many things. The variations were just belts.
All this talk. I'm getting really, I have to shift in my chair. Gentlemen.
She's getting very turned on.
There's a couple other things that I use besides the traditional things. Of course, well, with my hands, getting back to that, I do my hands. There's so many different techniques I do with my hands. So when I'm in top mode and I'm spanking somebody, they're going to get all kinds of different types of sensations from my hands.
Okay, explain that a little bit. Now, what do you do with your hands to give different sensation?
Sometimes I'll cup them. Sometimes I'll do like a karate chop where I'm kind of going up and down, kind of coming underneath and then back down from the top real quick. Of course, I do with both hands. I'm just as efficient left-handed as I am right-handed. So sometimes I'm hitting both cheeks at the same time. Sometimes I will stand and I will put my hands in a position where I can do a backhand, and I might even do it with both hands. I'll do my left hand followed by my right hand. Sometimes I'll get on my knees behind the person that's on a spanking bench, and I'll come in with my hands, kind of like the palm of my hands, and hit them and kind of push them up in a different position. So that's just a couple of the ones that I do, probably the more common ones with my hands.
And then you add a little music to it for some beat?
Yes, you do.
You count and do all kinds of different things. And you get, there is a thing about the rhythm. Chrissy, you're a drummer, and so getting that rhythm going takes you to a headspace.
Yes,
also.
It does.
Oh, it does.
Absolutely.
That's major, because if you really want to get into somebody in some good headspace, and you just get a nice little rhythm going, and they are in headspace. You know, sometimes they'll even just go to sleep on you. Which, in certain situations, I do like that, because I want them to be in headspace. I want them to have a good experience. It's like a massage or something. They're just, you know, they just feel fantastic.
Except they have a tanned hide.
They have a tanned hide. Now, a couple of more implements that I want to throw in that I use also on the spanking is, people don't think of floggers. They think of it on the back. But actually, I do floggers on the butt, too. And you can do that with some of the more heavier type floggers, or you can take something like a doe and give them just like the most awesome sensation with a doe flogger, which is so soft. Canes is another thing. Everybody has their own opinion of canes. I'm strictly rattan because I like to have the bounce. I like to hear the whip through the air. You know, the rattan canes they have a bounce, so I don't feel as threatened as a top or bottom by that. So you can actually use canes in a more rhythmatic type way. You can do them kind of like you're doing drums in a real soft rhythm.
And bamboo is a variant on that, and you can get that in all different sizes.
That's right.
And so the small ones sting like hell, and the big ones thud like hell.
That's right. I have a top that she was in a band, and she plays drums. So we have drumsticks, so she uses her drumsticks on me.
Gee, you could use drumsticks for other things, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's probably the most of the things that I do right there. I'm sure I've varied in some other ways, but that's primarily it as far as implements.
And so when we say spanko, that's kind of the extent of it. We don't get into cutting of the butt and things like that.
Cutting of the butt depends on, I've been cut many, many times with paddles, because I actually, as a bottom, I play very heavy. So I get cut all the time, quite often.
And so when you're saying cut in this case, is it a situation where the paddle is pinching the skin?
It's just hit so many times in the same spot over and over with quite a bit of force that it will.
So you're bringing the blood vessels up to the surface of the skin and out through the skin.
Yes. Now, it's not running like a cut would do, but, you know, you actually got a little bit of blood there. It's not a runny type blood, but it's there. You know, it's present. It breaks the skin.
What are some of the precautions you need to take and things you need to look for when you're playing with paddles?
The main thing to do is talk to the person. In the beginning, the negotiation is so important about their health and maybe their past experience, what they've done before. I'm not going to hit somebody hard with paddles unless I get to know them pretty well or I've seen them play. But somebody that's brand new that comes in and tells me, I can take this and I can take that, I'm going to be very, very cautious with them.
When you say health, what are the health concerns? What are you looking for?
Well, it could be a multitude. You know, when you hit somebody hard, it's going to jar their whole body. So it's not, you know, just their butt. It could be pretty much, you know, it could be their knees or back. It could be maybe some, maybe they have had some heart problems or something. I mean, it could be a multitude of things.
So skeletal issues, soft tissue issues.
Mm-hmm. It's very intense. When you take a hard paddling or spanking like that, it's very, very intense.
Oh, yeah. That inertia rocks your whole body.
Mm-hmm. And then you have fluid transfer issues, like when the blood starts to appear. Pathogens will appear if they have something that is such as
communicable is a
communicable
word.
Disease, HIV, AIDS, even there's other diseases of the blood that hepatitis. Yeah, all those things. And so the top has to be aware that they are exposing themselves to that, because also when you get going good, you're going to be sweating. You are touching hand contact. And when you're going really well with your hand is getting sore too.
That's right.
And so you're moving fluids from your hand also. And I've seen hand print bruises on butts.
Oh, yes, definitely. Now, another thing too, because I bottom very heavy with my tops, my regular tops, I have a certain diet. When I know I'm going to play that day or that night, I won't eat supper. I mean, there's a certain way that I'll go through the day as far as a diet when I know I'm going to be playing very heavy as a bottom.
Okay, give me some background on that.
I may just, you know, you can have stomach cramps, you know, because, I mean, it jars everything. When you're, you know, when you're getting hit hard repeatedly, it just jars your whole body.
So it's a milkshake.
Oh, I don't want a milkshake.
You become a milkshake.
So I basically have a light breakfast, a very light lunch, and I don't even eat supper.
You're going to be losing a lot of electrolytes and things like that. So you're drinking water and sport drinks, or what's your procedure usually?
I just drink a lot of water is mm-hmm. what I do during the day. Of course, you know, the next day I'll make up for it. Or sometimes that night I may go out for something. Some of us will go out after at night and have something at one of the all-night restaurants after play. So, but before play, I try to keep my stomach very empty. Now, some people may have a different theory on that, but I play very heavy, and that's what works for me.
You know, I had a friend who always complained that she had a leather butt or a concrete ass. She was so annoyed because she really liked spankings, and she really liked the marks from spankings, and she got to a point where she just simply didn't mark. And I always believe that's damage that's done to her skin from tissues from so many spankings. Is that possible, do you think?
Well, medically, I don't know, but I can tell you this. As somebody who experiences that quite regularly, I get leather butt all the time, and I'm fine. I mean, depending on how severe. I mean, I've had the same leather butt for 2 or 3 weeks from something really, really severe. But, you know, I'm fine. I mean, when my leather butt goes away, I'm pretty smooth.
Define the leather butt for folks that might not know what that is.
It's like your butt just gets really tough. I mean, really, really tough. And it's like what was mentioned earlier, like a sandpaper type thing. It's just very, very rough. And it feels, I don't know if it feels like sandpaper, but it's just a real rough feeling. And you can look at it and tell it's leather butt. I don't mark generally, and I'll get cut. I get cut a lot, but I don't mark. And I think a lot of that has to do with playing so much that I've had experienced ladies come in and play me real hard, and they get frustrated because they can't mark me. And they can cut me, but they can't mark me.
So you have tanned hide.
Yeah, tanned hide. That's right. Now, on the other hand, as a top, I've played with people, and a lot of this has to do with the type of medication you might be on. I've played with some people, like one person I played with for the first time, I barely played her, spanked her with my hands. It was probably a medium type scene, and she had big old giant bruises on each cheek like the size of grapefruits because of the medication and different things.
Tender butt.
So a lot of times it just depends on the person, you know, it depends on who you're playing with. So, you know, I've had people go around bragging that they put marks on somebody. Well, actually, it depends on the bottom. It depends on a lot of factors.
When you start a scene, there's a warm-up period, and then you run it up before you get to the high intensity.
Yes, it's very important.
How do you judge that? You have somebody you haven't played with a lot. How do you judge the run-up?
Well, if here's the way I do it. When I'm playing with somebody that I'm not a regular partner with, because my regular partners I know, And when they play me, they know. So somebody I'm not regular with, I'll start out, I'll be conservative. I'll start out, I'll give them a little longer warm up. I'll go a little slower in the beginning to build them up. I'll talk to them. I'll ask them how they're doing. You know, if they want to give me a green light, if they want me to slow down. It's a lot of communication, a lot of talking. Now, on the other hand, when you do a lot of communicating and talking, you lose out on them getting into head space and subspace. But to me, when I don't know somebody, I would rather err on the caution side and have better communication, worry less about them getting in the headspace because I want to be safe with them.
Spanking. A lot of videos out there. Can you tell me anything about the videos that people may see floating around? Are many of them realistic, or what are they about? I was looking at Chatelaine's website a little earlier this evening, which is one of the premier spanking groups around. Remember, my partner went out to Chatelaine party many years ago out on the West Coast, and she was talking about how formal and rigid it was, the dress code that you talked about, and so forth. And now I notice the Chatelaine's putting a lot of videos out. Are these more fantasy, or can people pick things up from them?
I haven't really had a chance to watch many of them. I did go to Crimson Moon last year, and some of the people that make these videos were there. Mainly I interacted with them when they were vendors. I never really got to see them do much play. So I'm not really an expert on you know, how they make their videos or what they do. Most of my experience is just local here, or, you know, just playing here locally.
Well, I know spanking sure is popular. I think on FetLife there is currently over 1,000 spanking groups. You know, enthusiasts of one nature or another. So it's certainly a popular activity.
Well, that's the way when new people come in, that's the best way for them to jump in and get their feet wet. It seems to attract them more. It's something they're more into. And then eventually they can move into other things if they want to. But spanking is just a great starter. It's a great way to get into the lifestyle.
And it's low investment. If you go into a club that has a spanking bench, you bring your hand.
That's exactly right.
It's a wonderful gateway, and you're right. It'd be done at home, minimum sound, minimum risk to the parties involved. It's fairly easy to ramp it up or ramp it down.
This just occurred to me. This is a little bit off track, but I've been thinking about the never-ending conversations ongoing about 50 Shades of Grey, and I was looking at the contract that is written up in that book. And there's no blood play, there's no this, there's no that. Basically, all Christian does is, all he wants to do is tie her up and spank her. The guy's a spanko, let's face it.
Apparently so.
That's it.
Kavika, so if a couple, like monogamous couple married, that doesn't really play with others, wants to come to the club and learn how to do this, how do you help somebody like that?
Well, generally, whenever I am approached, a lot of times they'll come to the club and they may ask around at the club from people that they trust on who maybe to talk to about certain things, which is a good reference point right there. And so eventually, you know, they may come to me, and what I'll do is I'll sit down with them and see what they're doing now, and then find out what about it that they're, you know, they're not getting out of it, or what, you know, ways that they can improve their spanking that maybe could lead to other things. And the biggest thing I find is whoever the top is, or dominant person is, they're not giving any warm up, or maybe not, they don't know how to give warm up or how long to give warm up. The other thing too is once they kind of get their partner warmed up, they don't know how to slowly lead into a spanking. And we're talking about a spanking that's not a punishment, a corporate punishment. We're talking about just a nice, comfortable play type spanking. And so I try to either coach them, or sometimes the party will let me show them physically how to do it, or I'll just coach them while they do it and just stand there and advise them on different things. So, yes, we do have those. And a lot of times people will come and they will reach out and say, hey, how can I make our life better for my spouse and I?
Some people use spanking as foreplay to sex and
yes,
that sort of thing.
Yes.
And so you can run up from a warm-up into a heavy play, get the partner very wet, and then off they go.
Oh, there's so many ways you can do that. Some partners I play with will, you know, they'll just get all hot and wet just when we're playing. With somebody who I'm in a relationship, I've mixed maybe a little bit of oral in with the spanking and done them both at the same time. There's variations you can do to mix sex with the spanking as well, especially in a relationship type thing. then that's probably the main thing. Also, I've had a play partner for several years that whenever I play the female, and she's in a monogamous relationship with her boyfriend, that her boyfriend loves it. But whenever I play her, because he said whenever they go home, they have the most awesome sex because she's so worked up from
woohoo, awesome sex.
So yeah, whether you're involved in the sex or you're doing it for somebody else, it can be awesome foreplay. And that's basically before I got in the lifestyle. That's what I did with my vanilla girlfriends because I've been, like I said, I've been playing earlier. I said I've been playing since I was 17, and I played with vanilla girlfriends before I found out there was a real lifestyle out there, and that's what we did. It was foreplay, basically. We used spanking as foreplay.
Well, thanks, Kavika, for joining us today at the Kinky Cast. It's been really great having you talk about spanking, and I really hope that some of the folks listening will take some of your tips to heart and warm a bottom.
I hope so, because I'm very, very passionate about it. Like I say, I do other types of play, but spanking is something I'm very, very passionate about.
Thank you both for joining us.
Do appreciate your insight.
You have been listening to episode 83 of The Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we bring you Instant Hell.